Yeah, rock and roll never forgets. Dennis put that very well. Does not forget, and we will not forget, because I got 25 years, and in the next 4 hours, I think I'll take the two masks, the comedy and the tragedy masks, and mainly the one that has the smile. Will be a whole lot of stories about people that you guys know and that I know and that I met and bummed around a little bit with, and some of the things that have happened to me that were tragic and that were really funny. So I think we could tell you this afternoon, I hope, will be real interesting. And maybe, who knows, you might learn something, you might get a smile. But, well, let's start with the start here. 25 years ago on December 18th was that time we were called a new groove. And Scotso, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, began his show thusly.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say, beware, doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you.
After somebody that I now know and consider a friend and a wonderful person is Bob Dylan. Now, we all know that we didn't understand everything he wrote, but if it was blowing in the wind, yeah, it was easy to understand. Why did I start my show 25 years ago with Like a Rolling Stone? Because I loved it. It was my favorite, and it was something I wanted to do, because we all are in that category. And then John Lennon pops up in his silliness. John had a great sense of humor, and there you could hear him, like a Rolling Stone, and being real silly and having fun. And then there was the serious John Lennon.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever. Can recall some are dead and some are living. In my life, I've loved them all. In my life, I love you more.
So, at the airport in 1964, Scotzo's there, and here come these four guys with the haircuts, with the cute little teddy bears, and they killed the press and everybody else, including me. I mean, I already knew about Beatlemania, but I had never met the guys, but from then on in, I was, you know, blessed. So much luckier, yeah, I'm a lucky guy. So, you know, God, I'm looking and thinking, wow. You know, they haven't been in the sun very much. Later, of course, I went to Liverpool and I knew why, but a couple of years later, they had color, and all the ladies across America picked out their favorite teddy bear. Is it John? Is it Paul? Is it George? Is it Ringo? Or is it all of them? Yeah, most of the time. So American men, young men, found out they were without girlfriends because, you know, hey, I'm sorry, fella, but Paul is it, or whoever they picked. So, what was a guy to do? He was to change his hair. And he was to look like a beetle. He was to dress like a beetle and act like a beetle. Or he wasn't going to get back home. These guys did it. Wow. And, of course, they opened the door for everyone, every artist, to be able to write and record their own material. Rather than go into the studio, the record company hands you a song, says, this is what we're going to record. And that was such a vital part of our rock history. So then, you know, no matter what went on, okay, they were traveling and all, and John got in a little trouble at home, so here was the kid, Julian, saying, talking to Paul, of all people, and Paul, yeah, everybody loved each other, so it was easy enough to do a song. Which Paul wrote for Julian, but it couldn't be Hey Julian, because it didn't sound right, but you got the story.
Anyway. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart, then you can start to make it better.
Of course, John and I had kids together, same time, couple of days apart, same hospital, same doctor. And in my life, John and I compared bills. I said, hey, John, now look, I know this gynecologist is going to charge me more money than the next person because I'm Scott Muni, but wait a minute, you're John Lennon. So, you know, I'll bet you that he's charging you more than... So he said, do you think? Yeah, and I said, I think so. So, of course, we found, and it was true. No doubt about it. Sean cost almost twice as much as little Tiffany. But, of course, then John said, yeah, but Yoko had a cesarean. I said, well, maybe that's a little more and all. But, hey, doctors are doctors and kids are kids. What a great thing to share, to look at each other and see each other in a hospital, not expecting to see each other there, because why would... And yet, 3 days before... When Sean was born, I was on the radio saying, hey, good, John has a baby born on the same day, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, and then 3 days later, I'd forgot all about it, and I was in the same hospital, and little Tiffany was being born, and I wasn't even thinking about it, and all of a sudden, there's John and Yoko. Yoko's in the wheelchair. He's wheeling her down to see the kid, you know. I said, good Lord, what are you doing here? He did it. He actually said, Scott, what are you doing here? And I had to say, whoop, same thing you're doing here, and... We had the wine and the partying and everything in the hospital. And through it all, to really know John Lennon, I don't think anybody did, but John Lennon had become a New Yorker, and was the best way to describe John is he's like a lot of us, but he had a lot better sense of humor and had a lot more talent than the rest of us. And thank God he left a lot of stuff for us. And then there's Paul, who just is total genius and has a great sense of humor, too. That Liverpool does it. And Paul's still hanging around. What a guy to hang out with, because He's just full of stories, and, you know, he can tell you about Julian and some of the problems there, but all the guys, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, all had individual phases of their life they went through in 5 years of mammoth success that no one has ever equaled. Their popularity worldwide, Beatlemania, the Fab Four, etc., etc. And through the bad parts and the drugs and the religion and everything else, and you can look at a film and see how these little boys with their little teddy bear haircuts 5 years later with long beards and strange clothes and all looked like older men. And but what a story. Well, it wasn't that long ago, on my 20th, around my 20th, that old Scotzo got lucky again. And where was I? Abbey Road Studios, on a suburb of London, and where that crosswalk is. Yeah, I took pictures there, of course. But Paul was holding a press conference while I was there for the television from Europe. No radio people, no one allowed. Well, I snuck in, and I was there. And in the cover of People magazine, Paul McCartney was cutting the cake for the 20th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper. The cake was a replica. The album was the cover was repeated, and the cake and everything, and the drum and everything, you know, everything that was there. And it was fascinating. So I, of course, was observing the television people from Europe who had no idea who the hell Paul McCartney was or the Beatles or anything. They were people in another generation, but they were covering this story. And one of the guys, with his accent, kept saying, "Paul, give me the cake. Give me the cake. Give me the cake." And I was right behind Paul, and Linda was next to him. And I said, "Paul, do it. Give it to him. I dare you. I dare you to give him the cake." And guess what? Right in the face, the guy got it. And Paul did it. Now, what an anniversary. The cover had Paul McCartney and my chin of People magazine, so at least I was on the cover. My chin was. Great memory. Get him, Sergeant. Ringo in the starring spotlight, and Ringo, the one whose hair flopped up and down that everybody loved. So John and Paul and Ringo, And George, who just recently, he had to say it. Boy, when we was fab, it was something.
Back then, long time ago, when grass was green, woke up in a daze, arrived like strangers in the night. Fab. Long time ago when we was fab.
It's easy to say that in these 25 years, I got by with a little help from my friends. And today, I'll have to get high with the 25 years, my friends, that way. And hopefully, I can do it that way, because I am right now just starting out. And boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about and share memories with you of some events and some great people. My friends and your friends, back in a couple.
Could you tell me where Barney's is?
17th and 7th. Your best bet is to walk four avenues west to the north corner of 7th and 42nd. Take the M33 to 17th. It's on the east side of the street. Next.
Hello. Have you heard of Rizzoli?
Take the M123 or 4 up Madison to 57th. Walk 1 3/4 blocks west. Or walk 2 blocks over to 5th, then north 12 blocks.
And what about Ann Taylor?
Oh, well, that's the other way. Walk out to Lexington, up 3 blocks.
Why spend half the day running around the city when you can spend the whole day shopping at the World Financial Center? Along with Barney's, Ann Taylor, and Rizzoli, you'll find 30 other shops, along with 11 terrific places to eat, all under one roof. So when you do your holiday shopping, slip into something a little more comfortable, like the World Financial Center, open 7 days a week on the Hudson River in Lower Manhattan.
Where can I find excellent creme brulee?
Go to Le Pactole at the World Financial Center.
I need directions.
With 3 eggs, milk, and 1 cup of sugar, then bake 35 minutes until firm, and then you'll just love it. It's delicious.
Hear that? It's traveling music, and it's kind of appropriate since the folks at Bell Atlantic Mobile have just introduced special new traveler pricing plans, which can mean big savings if you're on the road a lot between Greater Philadelphia, the New York metro area, New Jersey, Delaware, or the Eastern Shore of Maryland. Plus, Bell Atlantic Mobile has made it easier for all their customers to talk while traveling. Because from now on, if you're anywhere from Connecticut through Northern Virginia, your calls in progress will be transferred between calling areas automatically. So you don't have to worry about your conversation suddenly getting cut off. And early in 1993, when you're in Greater Philadelphia, the New York metro area, New Jersey, or Delaware, all your incoming calls will be transferred to you automatically. This way, callers won't have to dial a special access code just to find you. It's just like being in your home service area. To learn more about Bell Atlantic Mobile's traveler pricing plans or these convenient new services, call 1-800-255-BELL. If you're a traveler, it's going to be music to your ears.
Delicious Nando Asti Spumante, imported from Italy with all the sparkle of Italian romance. Compare the taste, compare the price. You'll never buy any other.
Asti Spumante, Nando.
You're my celebration.
Nando.
Yeah, you got it all.
Nando.
You're hot and you know it.
Taste the good times. Nando.
Nando Asti Spumante, imported from Italy by Fedway Associates, Kearney, New Jersey.
What do you think of Cineburst gum?
Those flavor crystals are obviously part of a conspiracy. By the way, what's your angle?
It's only like my favorite gum.
My Bertrand is a perfect child, but I found Cineburst hidden in his underwear drawer.
I'm chewing a piece right now. See?
You asking about that deviant gum with spots, boy? Give me 10 laps.
Yes!
Cineburst gum with flavor crystals. May not be suitable for adults.
Hiya, MasterCard.
Who are you?
I'm a list of last-minute holiday gifts.
Oh, welcome to the wallet.
You know, it's really great how you give your owner big savings through your Master Values program.
Right. He can save up to 25% on the spot just for using me, MasterCard, at thousands of stores nationwide.
So will you go with me for some last-minute shopping?
Well, sure. After all, I'm the perfect card for the holidays.
Ho, ho, ho.
Use MasterCard and master the moment. This holiday season, look for Master Values offers with your monthly statement. Offer good through December 24th. Void where prohibited.
Well, I am joined at the moment by my longtime friend, and, well, not quite 25, but almost, Dennis Elsas. Hey, Dennis,
hey,
you were
Scott.
Just on the radio.
You know, I'm reminded that it was 5 years ago this day that we sat here and we talked about your 20th anniversary.
Right.
And a little over a year ago, you were nice enough to have me sit in and do my 20th anniversary. And I wanted to make sure this afternoon that we talked a little bit, because I know you've got a lot of stories and a lot of great tales to tell. But there's this joke between Scott and I. It's been going on since he hired me back in 1971. The joke is, Scott, I used to listen to you when I was a kid, but it is no joke, because I know that a lot of our WNEWFM listening audience is like me. If you grew up in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, and if you grew up before 1967, when WNEW went on the air and when Scott went on the air on December 18th, you knew this voice, because Scott Muni ruled the other side of the dial, because before there was rock and roll on FM, there was rock and roll on AM.
Yay, there was.
Now, I know that you didn't start in New York City. I heard you for the first time, but we'll talk about that in a minute. You started where?
Well, actually, I started this thing. I started getting into this thing when I got a job in Akron, Ohio, on WAKR, Wacker. I've been a Wacker for a long time, but Wacker was is famous for one thing in my mind, and that's where Alan Freed started. And when Alan Freed took off to go outside of Cleveland, then over to Newark and into New York, I got his job. It was 7 to midnight, 5 hours at night, and I got to do pretty much what Alan was doing. And what a fascinating thing, because I started to hear all the originals instead of the covers of great music. He was able to play black artists and rhythm and blues things as well as pop things. And I got an education instantly, and instantly formed a great respect for Alan Freed, which carried on until he died. And the reason I'm here is really because I had a guy like Alan Freed to, you know, show me which avenues, which side streets and all were really happening places. In other words, the music. And so thank you, Alan Freed.
And
that's where I started.
In Akron.
Yeah, and I was there about 2 years. And sure enough, got a call and ended up in New York at WMCA and decided to go what they call pop music. And I came into town. It wasn't long before I met up with Alan Freed, because I didn't know him. I just knew his chair, which was a mammoth chair. He ruled the airwaves, and I got to do the same thing because he opened the door. And so when I came into New York, we got together, and though we worked at different stations in different places, and, you know, I kind of felt I was the kid. And I could say to Alan, I used to listen to you when I was a kid, which was true, but that was a long time ago.
Well, way back when. I'm going to guess it was 1959.
1 year earlier.
It was 1958?
Yep.
That was your starting date on WMCA?
WMCA, right.
570 on the dial?
Exactly.
And there I'd be?
With Herb Oscar Anderson there before ABC.
Herb Oscar was in the morning, and Scott was 7 to 11,
mm-hmm.
The lead-in to the Barry Gray talk show, which still makes no sense in radio history.
No.
But Scott would play strange music. I mean, he played the great songs of the late 50s, but you had this Well, I sometimes kid on the air about you and your electric pogo stick, and maybe you can...
I would come in right about here. They'd say, "What are you doing?" "I'm bouncing around the studio on my pogo stick." And that's exactly the way it went, and nobody knew where I was going to go from the opening, which was my theme there, and right on through to the end of the show. I didn't know where I was going to go either, but it was fun because there was nowhere near the music that was to come in the 60s. I mean, there were a few records around. I mean, you would play Tony Bennett, and you would play, you know, Guy Mitchell, and you'd play these other people, and then all of a sudden, while I was there, Elvis came along and everything, and I said, oh my goodness. That's where I got in trouble, because I played so much Elvis that I was accused by the company, actually accused, brought to the lawyer and all, that I was getting payola from Elvis Presley.
For Elvis Presley?
For playing his records.
Oh, dear.
So I said, well, I guess you guys are right, you know. Where the hell would he be without me, you know? And I, you know, it was really silly. It was awful. It was a time I would like to forget, because it was right around the time of the 1960 investigations of pay for play and that sort of thing. And if you can laugh like I did, it wasn't a time to laugh, because I eventually left the station for that reason, because I was guilty before the trial, you know, and I was innocent. But wouldn't that be funny if Elvis was giving me...
Elvis.
Hey, Elvis, did you give me all that money to play your records? Wrong.
Now, after MCA, of course, you were both an All-American and a good guy, right?
At WABC. WABC.
And once again, Scotso, at nighttime, there would be that long news block. Your lead-in was like an hour and a half of news.
The ABC network. An hour and 20 minutes of news. Well, how'd you like to start your show off after that, right?
But somewhere around 7:20 or so on 77 WABC, and there would be great stuff like this.
Number one in the nation, the Scott Muni Show. ABC is the station on your radio. The hits are the latest, solid gold the greatest, the Scott Muni Show.
Yeah.
Now, that's history for you, but that is a smile to me, because I am back there sitting in a bedroom in Jackson Heights, Queens, listening to
Think
you.
Think how hot I felt the Shirelles recording one of their hit songs with my name. I mean, don't think that show wasn't a hot show and number one rated and all, and it was. But, I mean, hey, they recorded that and sent it over to me. I mean, I said, well, I guess I'm starting to make it. You know, and again, there we, WABC, we had maybe 30, 40 records only. That's all there was, you know. And play the records over and over again. Shirelles, of course, they'd have a hit and somebody else would come along. And eventually I got in trouble there because... again, I was accused of being friends of a group that had hit after hit, and one time they decided, well, we're not going to play this because it's a ballad. And I said, yeah, but it'll be number one next week. You have to play it. I said, why? Are they paying you or something? And there was another thing. They were called the Four Seasons.
Oh.
And they only had about 12 million sellers in a row. But, you know, their third big, big hit was a ballad. And, of course, it was number one the next week. And everybody thought, okay, Scott's so hot, you know, that when he plays it, you know, it became a hit, so they must be paying him to do that. And all these crazy things that people were thinking about then was not true. But when you hear a hit, you hear a hit. I mean, it's a goodie.
Well, Scott on MCA and Scott on ABC.
Don't go away, I'm no good for you.
And actually, when Scott started on the FM dial back in 1966, it was not at 102.7, because this radio station was not playing rock and roll in those days. He was down the dial at a station that doesn't exist anymore, WOR-FM 98.7, which really, in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, was the beginning of the progressive rock and roll experiment.
It was. It was wonderful. I mean, the whole concept was I was out of radio. I had left WABC and was gone for about a year and a half. And at a restaurant, discotheque club, where we were playing rock groups and everything.
The Rolling Stone.
Yep. And this guy came in, and he said, you guys, you can go on the radio and play what you want to play and play all this new stuff, anything you want to do. I said, what are you drinking, man? Or smoking? But it turned out to be true, and so I took off like a bullet over there, and we started what became this grand experiment. With and at that time, things were starting to happen. People, you know, the folk scene was becoming extremely strong. Groups started to form, and it was magnificent.
And Things from England, in fact, had its premiere on ORFM, didn't it?